The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
You know, it's not just Southern Oregon that is having problems coming up with good public policy decisions when it comes to dealing with people. Well, let's just say it, kind of the woke mob, as it were. Steve Dillard is a city councilor. He's an innkeeper by trade. And he's a little sleepy this morning because he was working swing shift over in Seaside, which is where he's the city councilor this morning. And he finds himself under recall. And I wanted to ask him a few questions about what is going on there. Steve Dillard, we welcome you to the show. Morning, sir.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay, how much coffee's in you? You all ready? Raring?
I'm ready to go.
Okay, good. All right. So you're under recall by a group in Seaside called Freedom to Read Seaside. And I guess what happened is that we only have about 15 minutes, so we're going to have to try to make hay with this. But it seems that what happened is that you had the temerity to question whether inappropriate books should be handed out to kids in the public library system. Is that kind of our bottom line here? How did this all start? It was a few months ago, apparently.
Yes, last October, I was approached by some residents here in Seaside that were concerned about what was going on with our public library. Our library here in Seaside is run by the city, and so it's under the purview of the council.
Right.
We have a subsidiary board, a library board, that runs the week-to-week operations. People talked to me about it. They were concerned about some of the children's books that were in the library, and so I began researching it. Well, actually, the first thing I did was talk to the city manager, and I said, hey, you have a problem. There's stuff going on in the library, and he informed me, well, actually, we're following our procedures are tight. They're following all of the policy that's in place, and the policy has been adopted by the city council. So actually, Steve, it's on your desk. It's not on my desk. So I started doing research.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And so I started doing research and found out that this is a national discussion, as you know, better than I do probably, and started finding out that there were books that had been promoted to children. And there were now parents groups and different groups around the country that had started pushing back on some of the things that were going on at the library. So I started realizing that this there's a lot of law around this, the free speech laws, First Amendment,
sure,
a lot of legal issues having to do with, since the library is a public place, what can be done, what can't be done. We're providing information. We don't want to step on anybody's freedom to access information. That's where the free to read comes from. That's actually out of some legal decisions. Yeah, I realize there's 200 years of case law about First Amendment issues. And so.
Yeah, well, the thing is, though, I would just add, if you don't mind me just interjecting here, though, certainly you have the freedom of read, but you don't have the freedom to demand that the taxpayers pay for your freedom to read for on absolutely everything and give it to the kids unquestioningly. Unquestioningly, I guess that's really what we're talking about, isn't it?
I actually started parsing that issue, and I would parse your statement on that. I focused on the kids. It's like, can we here in Oregon treat our children differently in order to protect them? And even if, as you said, all of these free speech claims, whether they're right or whether some of them are off, they all have to do with adults. And the opponents of this, the people that are pushing some of these books on kids, try to obscure that line and try to say, free to read, free to read, free to read. And if you chant that enough times on social media, people take that as they won the argument, and you know, they get programmed with that idea rather than actually looking at some of the details on the corners of the law and say, how can we protect children?
So this group then, who doesn't seem to care much about the kids but more about freedom to read, freedom to read, freedom to read, they're pecking you to death, or they have been pecking you, you know, for quite some time, huh?
Right. And so what happened was some of these people challenged books last fall in our library, challenged a couple of the kids' books. And at the same time, I started studying policy because that was something I could do as a counselor. So I started researching policy, went to the mayor after some research, requested a city council meeting where we could talk about library policy. So he said, we have a library board. He delegated it to the library board, which makes sense, and then reminded me that we have a policy that says city councilors can't lobby a subsidiary board here in our city. So that kept me quiet for a while it was on the library board's desk. And then there was a third thing that happened. At the end of November, the term of one of our library board members came up, and I mentioned in open session that I was going to vote against that person because all of the board members, tree board, parks committee, all of them are appointed by the city council. City council, of course, is elected. And I said, this is an appointed board. These people don't stand for election. And based on the information I've had in the last few weeks, I don't think any of the opposition of what's been going on in the library, I'm not sure any of our people would be reelected. So I voted no. And I mentioned that I had been studying some of the books, and I had found a couple of books that were sexually explicit that had been marketed to our teenagers. Now, I used the word sexually explicit in November in an open session. Meanwhile, the library challenge had been going on, and meanwhile, I had been studying policy. So there were three things going on, but a young reporter didn't bother to fact check. They just mashed the story together that I had called children's books sexually explicit, and that I was involved in the reconsideration of some books,
which you weren't, but you just raised it in an open forum, right, in the open city council.
There was something that came up on our calendar. We had three nominations for people to re-up for their positions on the different the airport committee and the library board.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't be the first city councilor or county commissioner or whatever it is to find themselves sideways with a newspaper reporter. Yeah, you're not the first one.
I understand that, and so people came in December and in January and in subsequent months berating me for challenging kids' books. And anyway, so that was my first nose to nose confrontation with the mob.
So I guess the question though is: there a constitutional right for kids to just freely access? Just arguably pornographic material in a public library. Isn't that really bottom line?
Exactly. That's the great question. And so I had, not being an attorney by trade, I actually escalated this whole question to the city attorney to make sure we weren't violating any legal boundaries in our January session, when we nailed down that we were actually going to have a meeting. The library board had done their deliberations, and I had re-requested this meeting with the full city council. We finally had that meeting in April, but in the meantime, I had asked, for legal input on this to make sure that we weren't stepping on any law, any issues that would get us in trouble with the law. But the question again has to do with where's the legal limits for adults and where's the legal limit for children? Mm-hmm. And my position is we have several laws. We have many laws in Oregon that call out children as distinct from adults, and we can protect our children. They don't get to drive. They don't get to drink. There's a whole mess of things that they don't get to do.
Yeah. You know, a 12-year-old doesn't get to go in and purchase a firearm as an example either.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, Steve Gilder, by the way, is with me. He's a Seaside City Councilor under recall right now. So the actual recall election is going on right now, and we won't know what till the end of – it's like election season for you early, I guess. So the end of July is the wrap-up for this. So this this reading group what is it called again?
Free to Read?
Yeah, Free to Read. They've been coming after you then, because their idea of Free to Read is that doesn't matter how young the kid is, doesn't matter how explicit the book is, they get a chance to get it. And no questioning the and I imagine a lot of this is LGBTQIA+++++, the whole, the whole big transgender movement and everything else. Would that be fair to say that's pushing a lot of this?
Many of the people in public comment have identified that way, although not all of them, of course.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious, you go ahead and buy it for your own kids if you want them to read it that badly. But let's go in, I was reading over the weekend that this may be something which supports your case. I don't know if it'll help keep you from being recalled. There was a federal court in Tennessee, federal court, and they were arguing about the Tennessee, about the drag shows, about the drag queen story hours.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Yeah. And just the other day, a Tennessee law that was banning drag shows, you know, sexually explicit shows being shown to small children, to young children. Well, the appeals court ended up reversing that ruling, and so the drag show law has been ruled lawful. And the judges said, and this is a federal precedent now, it's over in that Tennessee district, but, you know, this is something to look at. Judges said there is no constitutional interest in exhibiting indecent material to minors. That's what that federal court said. And this is the same kind of question that you are raising in your local city council and the local Seaside Library, are you not? It's kind of the same sort of question, is there?
That's exactly what I was working with. That's right.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll send you a link to that particular story. I was reading it last night after you and I had a conversation.
Thank you.
And because even if they bounce you out of the city council, you still have, you know, a real interest in protecting the children of Seaside. And what is it, Tillamook County? Is that where Seaside is?
We are in Clatsop County.
Clatsop,
just
okay,
north of
Clatsop.
Tillamook.
Okay,
yeah.
Clatsop. All right, there we go. And this is something that is a question worth having about this. And this particular agenda has been very, very hot now about and a lot of this being driven by the American Library Association. And I'm kind of wondering, what role has the American Library Association had on setting policy for your local library, as it has set policy for many of our libraries here?
Well, during the research that I did, I quickly found the ALA.org website and realized that some of the things that were going on, what prompted this in the beginning of October, every fall, I guess, there is a promotion at the library, Banned Books Week is what they called it.
Right.
And I realized that is actually had been copied and pasted off of the ALA website. The marketing materials, the display in the library right next to the counter when you walk in, everybody can see Banned Books Week. And then the marketing materials. So was taken from the ALA. I realized as I went through our policy, our 35-page policy manual at the library, there were entire pages that were copied and pasted off of the ALA website, and including a policy in our library policy here in Seaside that says that you can't restrict the materials that people can access in our library based on race, sex, national origin, religious identity, or age.
Now, you see, that age thing, that's where, I mean, that's just bizarre, because as you've noted, even in the beginning of our talk, Steve Dillard, is that we restrict access to children for all sorts of items out there and situations and merchandise. And, well, you know, you can't even go to a movie at a certain age. You know, movies are restricted. But we say
right.
That books, no matter what, you know, the six-year-old comes into that library, and they're allowed to get whatever, no matter what, when they couldn't outside of the library. That doesn't seem right.
And like you said, no matter what happens with this recall, the I'm glad that the awareness of this issue has been broadened. And a year ago, I had never heard of the American Library Association, and I didn't know that our policy in our library had this bizarre provision about children. And so when I met with the city council in April, I was trying to say we need to change some procedure, but I also had to say, first, we need to change our policy. We need to take this out. It has been copied and pasted from an organization that used to help libraries and has provided lots of resources for libraries, but this part doesn't need to be in our policy.
Yeah, because policy is not – now, remember, Steve, and I remind other people, as a friend of mine says, policy is not law. Policy is a choice, correct?
That's right.
All right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And the people that are yelling about you, really all you're saying is that we should take age out of the policy. That's all you were saying, that age should be taken out of our policy the way we run the Seaside Library, right?
And then I wanted to change one procedure. Once we did that, then we could make an age a procedure change based on age, and that would be to take anything sexually explicit and put it in a separate part of the library that was a child could access only after getting parental permission. Now, that is done in other libraries around the country. That used to be done in the Seaside Library, and that was promoted. That was part of the procedure change that I wanted to implement after we made the policy change. That was presented to our full city council in my notes in April, and that was used by the mod to start a recall campaign to collect signatures.
Yeah, how dare you try to protect our kids from the sexually explicit material? How dare you try to protect the kids? How dare you?
And yeah. And the statement they put on the petition to collect signatures was that I was against the First Amendment.
Oh, my goodness.
And we can't have somebody like that on our city council that hates the Constitution. So because I wanted to say, let's treat children differently than adults.
Hmm. Well, I wish you the best on this. Is there anything that people can do to help your campaign? I don't know, but I'll at least ask you because you're battling for your city council position.
I don't know what you can do from Southern Oregon, but I encourage you. I've created a website because, again, I'm not on real great terms with our local newspaper. I created a website, stevedillard.co, which has my position, the history, and I've put a timeline of what happened, everything I was just talking about over the last 8, 9, 10 months now, put that on the website so that people can find out. And if they can become aware and start looking into this and see what's going on in their own library, I highly encourage that.
I so hope that you win this recall and that you're able to continue this because I have tired. This is something that I've talked about for many years here, Steve, that the American Library Association and many people within the library systems look at the library as belonging to them and policy as belonging to them. It's like they're a religious outpost, so to speak, rather than being a taxpayer-funded needed city service or needed county service, needed state service, that sort of thing. They look at the libraries as a place for their political agenda. And the American Library Association has arguably been very politicized for a very, very long time. And I'm glad you ended up finding out more about this and have been willing to take some arrows here. So it is stevedillard.co. He is a Seaside City Councilor for Ward 1. Stay in touch here, Steve, and we'll be in touch and continue to fight for reasonable parental controls of a city library. Thanks so much for being on the show, okay? Be well.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you very much. StevedDillard.co. 731, and you're on KMED and KBXG.
The delicious options seem endless at Freddy's Diner.
Okay, here she comes. No hesitation now. I'll go with a sandwich.
Are you ready to order?
Yes, I'm going with the pastrami Swiss bacon club, please.
Excellent. Fresh cut fries, battered fries, sweet potato fries, tater tots, onion rings, JoJo's, or a green salad.
Oh, boy. Would you repeat that?
Tune in next time as our intrepid diner grapples with a dipping sauce.
Freddy's Diner on Main in Old Town Eagle Point.
Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner.
Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., specializing in new roofing construction and re-roofing. Their mission is to make sure each and every client can sleep at night, knowing they have a roof over their head that lasts and will keep them protected. Call 941-3736, CCB 230-804.
Saudis drop the petrol, times are changing fast. Russia, China, BRICS, they're shaking off the past. Down in Ashland Town, there's a place to find your trust. J. Austin and Companies, where you gotta put your bucks. Dollar ain't as strong, but the silver's gleaming bright. Gotta hedge your bets, make sure you sleep at night. Winding through the hills to that little country store, J. Austin and Company will help you keep some more. Get your gold and silver, stash it while you can. Future's feeling shaky, better take a stand. J. Austin and Company, for your silver and your gold.
The Bill Myers Show is on 106.3 KMED.
It's 7:32. By the way, I've seen a couple people wrote me over the weekend about that J. Austin ad. I had Phyllis, who wrote saying she just loves hearing that J. Austin song. And another man who wrote me and said, Bill, how did Mark over at Jay Austin get the same voice who did the Oregon healthcare commercial song that I play every now and then for fun? You know, it's interesting. It does sound very similar, doesn't it? But still, quite pleasant. But appreciate you emailing Bill at BillMyersShow.com. Let me go to the phones. Billy's here. Billy, you've been hanging on here. And we talked with Steve Dillard, city councilor in Seaside, who's battling for some reasonable parental controls over access to library materials for kids. And what were you thinking about that? Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to just call in because I saw an interview with Kirk Cameron, the actor. I don't know if you know who he is. But
oh, yeah. Yeah, wasn't he in Growing Pains back in the day?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And he wrote a Christian children's book. He's been to 9 or 12 libraries so far, and they've rejected his book. So I just wanted you to know that.
Now, you see, if Kirk Cameron had come out with a book in favor of the mob's agenda, would have been no problem getting in there. And they would have said, hey, go ahead and you know, shovel that out to the kids, right? You know that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and however, that's not restricting speech, but just saying that parents have a say in whether their child has access to it, their young child has access to it. That's a bad thing. Do you think that's a bad thing?
Oh yeah, they won't even take the book to give the choice.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Appreciate the call, Billy. Thanks for sharing. Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
7:34. Commissioner Colleen Roberts from Jackson County just got back from NACO. We're going to call here and talk about fire and smoke policies. Some big motion over the weekend. Dr. Dennis Powers over, we're going to be talking where past meets present here in just a little bit. And we're going to be talking about, a person here in Southern Oregon made a lot of money, very wealthy, and who ended up doing things that, vanity projects that, don't get done today, because today's millionaires are always about funding some sort of vanity project that is destroying the country, that kind of thing. But the person we're going to be profiling is not one of those individuals. But anyway, all that coming up, and yeah, we'll talk about Biden and so much more. Biden, Kamala, where do we head next? Not unexpected, though, right?
Life's busy, and off is not an option. You need to be on the water, on the call. On the road, life's waiting. Power on with Batteries Plus. Visit one of over 700 locations today.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did, or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish. News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Wildland fire crews continue to battle fires across Oregon sparked by last week's lightning storms while also responding to new starts over the weekend. The Douglas County Sheriff's Office ordered evacuations of a handful of campgrounds as the Diamond Complex continues to grow near Diamond Lake. In Jackson County, the only fire of concern is the 10-acre Canyon Creek fire, which is currently 100% lined. Oregon's Democratic congressional delegation is responding positively to Sunday's announcement from President Biden he's ended his reelection. Senator Ron Wyden says he supports Vice President Kamala Harris to lead the Democratic ticket. Republican Congresswoman Lori Chavez DeRemer's campaign questioned whether Biden is capable of finishing his term. Oregon's Department of Energy will again accept reservations starting Tuesday for the Oregon Rental Home Heat Pump Program. Owners of rental homes and manufactured homes can get a cash incentive for installing energy-efficient heat pumps and related upgrades. Bill London, KMED.
7:37. Matt, you want to weigh in? Give us a NASCAR analysis with Biden taking off. What do you think?
Yeah, so this isn't about who will be ultimately chosen for their presidential candidate, but how the process, I think, is going to come out.
Okay.
If I'm running a NASCAR race and I've got like maybe 20 laps left and my engine blows.
Right.
Now, I've got an engine that cost me about $100,000 sitting off to the side. I could drop that in, but I really have no chance of winning with that engine. But my sponsors want me on the racetrack to finish the race, and I've got a $20,000 engine that I pulled out after the last race. Which engine do I put in?
Yeah, I know where you're going at, because you don't want to put your $100,000 engine in just to have it blow up with a loss, right? And just be tarnished with a loss. But you put the $20,000 engine in, Kamala in this particular case, and she gets tagged with the loss, let's say, right? And
right.
And then you don't waste a good candidate on a hopeless election?
Yeah, and I think that's the decision that has to be made. And honestly, that is going to be the process. It's like, do we want to burn out somebody we think could be a different Republican 4 years from now?
Beat a different Democrat, a different Republican. Beating J.D. Right. Vance likely is what it would be, right?
You know what? I'm not even going to say that's going to be who's running. Well, uh-huh. You have to see if Trump wins, and depending on what J.D. does and the impression he leaves on people will determine whether or not he's going to run. And look, people lined up pretty quick against Trump, which was stupid. You know, I love DeSantis, but he shouldn't have stepped in. But anyway, I think that's how the process is going to go down. And I do think one more thing. Mm-hmm. It's funny how everybody was stabbing Joe in the back. And after they stab him in the back and he quits, then he's the greatest guy in the face of the planet.
Oh, I was watching, I forget what channel it was, Van Jones was on there crying, oh, man, he's doing this, man. Oh, man, he was thinking for the country. Oh, he's like in tears. About the, yeah. you know, honoring, I got to tell you, I'm more like John Fetterman. John Fetterman, I think, was the only honest Democrat in responding to this, because he was talking to Selena Zito, you know, that journalist down in Pittsburgh, and was saying words to the effect of, you know, hey, enough with these platitudes and things like that. You know, we all know what's going on. And now they're just sticking a knife in his back. That's what it all was. So that's great.
Yeah, hey, one more thing on the library thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was it? What was that conversation we had once? That those are the fortress of the left?
Yes.
Your community?
Yeah, they end up being the progressive mosques, the equivalent of a progressive mosque, in which it's theirs, it's not the people. And Steve Dillard's fighting that in Seaside, too.
Yep.
Right? Appreciate the call. Yep, you brought it up first here. We appreciate that very much, Matt. It is 7:40. Commissioner Roberts is next, and we have some good news about smoke and fire policy. Getting some movement here. We'll tell you about that next.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including Cross Contact, 4x4 Contact, Terrain Contact, and Premium Contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands, so if you need a set for your truck, SUV, or van, come see us at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros in Phoenix.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Code, Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors, too. Come see the suppressor experts. Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
Insurance. Interesting time to talk about that, because in spite of the fact that Biden says we have inflation under control, if you've received an insurance renewal, you know better. You know what's really going on. You need a friend to help fight on your behalf. Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. A lot of times, given the wildfire map issues and the influence and the rising danger of public lands burning through your property, that's really what Jeff Golden is trying to fix. I'm going to use scary air quotes about that. But be that as it may, you need a friend like Steve Yancey, Sky Park Insurance, who's an independent insurance agency, and he works with many different companies, because sometimes you're going to have to go to different companies to try to find the best deal. He's done that for me, helped me save hundreds of dollars over the years, in spite of the fact that, yeah, my insurance bills have gone up too, but let's make sure it doesn't go up as much as it would for someone else, all right? Call 261-5444, 261-5444. Get a quote. In fact, you could call them right now. Wake them up or leave a message. He'll get back to you then. 261-5444 or get in touch with skyparkins.com. It's Steve Yancey.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
Hi, I'm Mark with Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, and I'm on KMED.
7:43, Jackson County Commissioner Colleen Roberts, just back from NACO. Commissioner, welcome back. Good to have you on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Good to be home.
Yeah, first, I bet it was. Where were you for NACO? And by the way, what is NACO for those who don't know? Sometimes, you know, when you start off an interview with, here's the, you know, the acronym. What is that?
Acronyms. Yeah. It's the National Association of Counties. Although we're not members of the state Oregon Association of Counties, we are members of the National Association of Counties.
Okay, and then, so you all get together, and you're sit around jawboning about what might be some good policies to put in place at various counties all across the country, not just Jackson County.
Yes, and I'm heavily involved in the Public Lands Committee at the National Association of Counties. And so, beginning in 2019, going back a ways, following like our local public hearing on smoke and fires, after we had all that heavy, the Klondike and Miles fire and all the big fires that we had back then, that just we had years and years of smoke that shut down our economy. Our areas were just filled with smoke, and everybody had enough. And we had our local resolutions that we made, and we kind of started then, once the state declares the fire season, that it's nothing but full suppression and initial attack. And
yeah, that is the policy, and arguably the way it was done before that time. That's not saying that we don't have fires that break out. It doesn't stop the fires from breaking out. It's how we respond to them. And there was coordination between Jackson County and the local alphabet soups managing public lands, right? Forest Service and BLM.
Yeah. And we meet with them at the beginning of every fire season, and we get a briefing after fire season, and they agree with us. They go, we will put our torches down once fire season starts, and we kind of get a briefing on the resources they have in place and what it looks like, and kind of we're all heading the same direction. And it's really been successful since that time. Well, in 2019 then, I discovered that there was an opportunity for me to present a resolution at the national level at the association, that NACO, in the Public Lands Committee, and kind of discovered that it's this 1995 wildland fire policy, that there was kind of the problem that there was allowing a fire or a lightning strike or any other source of ignition to play out and allow resource management to burn.
They would be burning. Commissioner, they would cut to the chase here. We'll just say a lightning strike happens, and then the fire manager then says, okay, well, we have a burn plan on all this public land because burning will restore it, you know, that kind of thing, for land management purposes. And this is when the fire boss ends up drawing a big box around where the lightning strike happens. And so what could have been put out ends up being tens of thousands of acres, if not more. And we saw that happen here in Southern Oregon, too, did we not?
Absolutely.
Arguably.
And the agencies adopted those policies. And so I put together a resolution. At that time, we weren't members of AOC either. So I took this resolution to NACO, and it really was kind of I kind of got a lot of resistance when I had to present it, and in kind of a work session. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, who would work with Commissioner Roberts on this? And we kind of went, and they really kind of neutralized it. And I said, well, I might as well not bring anything.
So they were shutting you down at the national county level when they would hear that?
At the first attempt. So actually, I called Mr. X from Washington, and I said, what do I do on this? You know, so anyway, we kind of worked together, and we put together kind of this, it's just untenable. What a one size fits all is just untenable. And I shot together a one sentence thing back to the head of our NACO that leads our committee. And by the time I got back in the room, it was up on the board. It passed, and we just kind of left it kind of a broad stroke, and it set the pace, and it passed and got a resolution put in. And each year we went back in, I returned in 2020 and 2021 and renewed. A resolution has to be renewed every year. And so we kept that policy, that resolution in place. And in 2023, last year, I added this burning kind of escalated when we saw the Herman Peaks fire in New Mexico. It was a prescribed fire that burned so much, so many homes and 600,000 acres and so much destruction. I mean, prescribed fire kind of came on hold. And so I added to my resolution at that time, and I put that the 1995 wildland fire policy, that in my resolution, that there needs to be an asserted effort to amend the 1995 wildland fire policy.
And I wanted to interject here, Commissioner, that the 1995 wildland fire policy is essentially when people hear the term, and I've talked about this several times, let it burn, the let it burn policy, in which we're not going to put this fire out. That's where a lot of this came from. And
yes,
you can arguably say that we've been very successful in Jackson County with the full suppression during fire season. Now we still get smoke because other counties do not do this. Is that fair?
I believe, well, of course we get their smoke. We're a valley, just like we're getting the smoke from the fire at Diamond Lake. It's in Douglas County. I don't get briefed on the effort of what's going on there, but we are getting their smoke. So I'm not sure the attack on that fire at this point. I know our fires have been put out. The fire at Salt Creek, the fire in Applegate, they've been pretty much extinguished, mm-hmm. but we sure had a lot of smoke this weekend. But anyway, I added that sentence. It got passed unanimously as
good.
Well.
That's
and
good.
So, and I do get to present it. And I have all of our information, the recommended verbiage that would amend that policy. It's just changes one line in that old policy. And I mean, it's just one page and it's such an old policy. My staff retyped it. You can copy and paste it. And they retyped the whole page and it's all on a QR code. It's so amazing. And I presented, I said, any county can replicate what we've done. It's easy. It's been successful. And counties are very interested in it. And I truly invite them to do that.
Okay. Who's interested in this? I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
Other counties.
Oh, other counties. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I meet with like the commissioners from New Mexico. There's a couple commissioners from California that's had the horrific fires down there. But That resolution got passed last year. And so this year, because my resolution has been such longstanding.
Yeah. Hey, Commissioner, we're kind of losing your phone line here. Hang on just a minute. Let me be right back with you. I'll get you on another line, and then we'll finish this up. But Commissioner Roberts from Jackson County, and talking about the fire and smoke resolutions, which have been very successful in Jackson County, trying to get this move to expand it to other counties here, so that they're not letting it burn during fire season. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
Dreaming of moving to your dream property in the county? Most rural properties rely on a well. Clouser Drilling is here to make sure your dream doesn't turn into a nightmare. Before you buy, you'll want to make sure the well is producing plenty of water. If a new well is needed, making sure the property has good water is vital. Clouser Drilling can help. They have drilled thousands of wells in Southern Oregon and can help you make an informed decision. Clouser Drilling can perform research, schedule an on-site visit, and provide free estimates based on your area. Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
If your garage or overhead shop door needs service or repair, please consider American Industrial Door. They have experienced and professional technicians with a fleet of trucks that can repair and service any door or opener. And if you need advice or just have a question about your door, just give them a call or stop by either showroom. They've been your garage door experts in Southern Oregon for nearly 40 years. American Industrial Door on Crater Lake Avenue, north of Vilas Road, and on Union Avenue in Grants Pass.
7:52, we're back with Commissioner Roberts. We got you on a different line here. So the push is then that the National Association of Counties is very receptive, has been receptive, and passed the resolution modified as you have done. to have more counties join in with. We're not going to let it burn during fire season. And I would imagine New Mexico commissioner was very receptive to this, given how much prescribed burning and prescribed fire has gotten away with them and burned tens of thousands of acres in the summertime, right?
They were very interested. What they've done with it, I don't know. They're welcome to take it, but they have approved the resolution. And so this year, because the resolution has been longstanding, it qualifies, instead of just making it an annual resolution, I decided to present it as a platform.
Good.
Which doesn't have to be a resolution. It's kind of part of the platform of the public lands policy. And I was skeptical under the current, you know, administration that it would actually pass as a platform, but it was unanimously approved as part of the public lands platform.
Good.
So, in my opinion, with the current administration, it really is a placeholder, hopefully for a new administration where we'll be able to move. And actually, my hope is then to actually make some move in getting the federal wildland policy amended aggressively with the new administration. But it is exciting to have it in more solid placeholder in the Public Lands Committee.
So it's there ready for action under a new administration. So, and arguably very likely could be the return of President Trump, which would be, In fact, I have a picture of you with President Trump sitting over here on the wall in which you were giving this kind of were you not giving a presentation just on this very issue to President Trump in the last administration?
In 2019, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
We started this journey, yep.
So this idea of making sure that the land managers aren't just burning during the summer and choking our area in smoke at the same time that we're supposed to be tourists, right? We're supposed to invite tourists here. Have you ever met a tourist that wanted to come here and experience the fire smoke? I haven't.
Not a one.
Okay. And this also would then mean that we have to start thinking more deeply about how to handle the excess fuel load, and rather than just burning it off during the hottest, smokiest times of the year, to do something like that. And I wonder if maybe some adults will return to the conversation about this. I don't know.
We do have to really, the next steps have to be, you know, land management and removing the fuel loads and the dead and dying trees that really plague, especially that Applegate area, and not let it burn. You know, that's what burned in that Applegate fire. We had just had a presentation just before that fire went off about the bug-infested trees out there. And the fact that they didn't even have to wait for a presentation to remove, you know, bug-infested trees is ridiculous. But
yeah. Well, the folks whose only solution to what's going on in our forest is, you know, I'll paraphrase one famous activist who said, I love the smell of fire smoke in the summertime because I know that the forest is being restored. You know, in other words, as it's being incinerated, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, we still battle those collaboratives who want to burn in the summer, and we watch for and we continue to write letters to ODF to say not, please do not give these people a burn permit. And we met last week, our board did, to write the collaboratives who seek to burn during summer a letter to notify them of our board's policy, and continuing to look for other areas to strengthen the success of our message and find other actions to boast this message as well locally.
Yeah, Commissioner Roberts, I'm just asking for a speculation on your part. Why do the collaboratives, why are they so hot, no pun intended, to burn prescribed fire in the hot, dry summer? Do they give an explanation for it when they come asking for a permit?
No. Well, they don't ask us for a permit, so I'm not sure. But I'm sure it's easier when the conditions are dry than when it's wet to set their fires. But that's when we have such – I mean, that's when the Lomakotsi burned the Ashland. It was in late June, and it burned the very trees they were trying to save. I mean, that's when the problematic fires Look at New Mexico. Look at the Caldor fire in Nevada. They were burns that were, they let go thinking it was going to achieve some land management goal and not be a problem, but they were the problems that created a mess. And there are times when it's safer to do that. And it's not the burning that's the issue. It's the time that it's not safe. And
it's the timing.
It's not.
Okay.
Especially for our smoke in our area and the livability we want to maintain here.
I know.
And the recreation we boast of here, our beautiful area.
I know that this is that, you know, essentially since 1995, since prior to that with the spotted owl fraud, unfortunately, we pretty much know that was a fraud. You know, this whole thing that ended up destroying any kind of real credible big timber industry down here in Southwest Oregon. It pretty much has been destroyed. But is there ultimately any long-term point in trying to say, hey, you can't burn enough of this forest? You can't burn enough of the forest to really take care of the problem. Will you let us do some actual harvest at some point? Because Mother Nature is going to harvest in one way or the other, and when it harvests, it tends to be very violent and smoky.
Yeah. It's either going to you're either going to harvest a tree, or it's going to die, or it's going to become bug infested. Either way, a tree does not live forever. And we have, you know, when the BLM came in and presented the issue of the dead and dying fir trees, and they said, oh, it's, you know, climate change and our drought. And I said, well, it looks to me that it's pretty overgrown and dense forest. Is that an issue as well? Well, yeah.
They never want to do anything about the dense forest,
maybe,
right?
Maybe management and a policy change needs to be implemented, but they won't address that or you know, that let's call it a drought and climate change first.
Well, is harvesting against the religion? Is it like blaspheming in the federal land management? Is it?
I think we want to call it climate change first.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because climate change means send.
You got to get the verbiage.
Oh, okay. Send climate. So I send more money to the government, and then the government will change the weather. Great, works. Yeah, just like I said, it's like the old tribal medicine man sort of thing, where you know you would have them do the right dance.
It's a language problem, I think.
Okay, all right, I get it.
Even when you look at the resource management plan for the Kaskaskia National Monument,
yeah,
it allows burning and not much timber management, and it would allow a fire to burn, and we objected to it. I'm not sure what they're going to come out with, but very limited grazing.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, limited grazing to actually keep the those flash fuels that set forests on fire. Wow.
Yeah.
And it's like the federal policy seems to be doing everything designed to burn Southern Oregon to a crisp.
Well, and our current administration, for sure, has ingrained in the Department of Interior something called Indigenous Knowledge, and it has been accepted, and it's about burning, and it's been accepted through clear down to Loma Kotze, and that's why I was very concerned about getting our resolution or our platform accepted, because it's really contrary to the trend. But hopefully that will change, like, say, with the new administration.
Yeah, this idea that the indigenous people burned their land to
burned
a crisp.
Everything.
Yeah.
I think they wanted to live here, too.
Yeah, agreed here. Jackson County Commissioner Colleen Roberts, you have time for a couple of calls. I think people want to ask you a question about this. Maybe.
Sure. I also want to hope people will be aware of the wildfire mapping and the comment has from July 18th to August 18th, and sure, and get their comments in. I'm getting copied on several, and we've got to get our objections put in there as well.
Do you think that people have finally figured out that Senator Golden's Senate Bill 762 is about depopulating the rural lands, depopulating them, almost like a cleansing of people off the rural lands? It's ultimately where it'll go, if it's allowed.
It is very, very against our private property rights in the rural lands. It is not. I agree. It's not going to help anybody wanting to live out here have insurance or be able to sell if you can't afford it. That's for sure. You won't be able to sell it.
Yeah, don't stop the federal lands from burning through your property. You have to just prepare to let it happen. Yeah, I don't think so. Let it burn on your own property. Commissioner, let's go to the phones here. And hello, line two, you're on with Commissioner Roberts. Go ahead.
Hey, Commissioner Roberts, this is Steve. I talked to you years ago about federal policy, and thank you for all the hard work you're doing.
No, thank you, Steve.
Appreciate that, Steve. Thanks for the call. And let me go to line three. Hi, you're on with Commissioner Roberts. Go ahead.
Hi there. So I was just going to make a comment about how Commissioner was saying how the bugs will kill trees. The BLM behind my property and on my property, the trees are already dying from bugs at a very rapid pace.
And would you like to see prescribed burns take those trees down in the middle of summer?
No, I would love to see them harvested because they're humongous sawlog trees that could be used for lumber. It is sickening what's going on. Our forests are very sick.
All right, Commissioner, thanks for calling for Commissioner Roberts. I'll take one more call before we cut her loose for her day job. And good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Dennis and my best to Colleen.
Oh, Dennis. All right, great. You're the next guest, but you hang on, my friend. All right. So, hey, Commissioner, great job on getting this policy. So it's a permanent part of public policy in the NACO world, isn't that right?
Yeah, well, it is. Yes, there are lobbyists in Washington, and this is their direction to stand on, and so that's the way they're directed, and this will be part of their direction.
Well, I'll tell you, you have been a very persistent county commissioner on this particular policy, and we appreciate your work on this because I know that. There's been withering criticism from the professional arsonist world, in my opinion. We'll just call it that. And I can't help but think that the collaboratives have an undue influence on this part because it's their business model to burn these lands, is it not?
And well, they're getting big money to do it.
All right. Commissioner Roberts, thanks for being on. You're welcome back anytime, okay? You take care.
Thanks so much. Uh-huh.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. It is 5 after 8. This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KPXG Grants Pass. The song.